Whew. Good morning, everybody. Yes. Welcome to Living Hope. It's not snowing today, at least, so that's a good thing. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for a long, long time. The Lord be with you. Thank you. It is good to get together with other folks to be reminded of God's great love and to get a chance not just to sing and to pray and all that stuff. We get a chance to encourage each other. We get a chance to hear from each other. We get a chance to hopefully hear from the God who has gathered us together. So let's bow our heads and pray and invite God to speak to us today. God, thank you. Thank you for getting us here. Thank you for getting us up this morning, getting us here. And now, God, I pray you'd help us to get ourselves ready to hear from you. I pray you'd help us to open our minds to you and to the things you might want to say to us. Open our hearts to you so that as we sing, as we pray, we can genuinely share with you the things that are going on in our hearts, in our lives. God, we don't want to hold back from you today, but we want to give you all that we are because you have done that for us. You have given us all that you are in your Son, Jesus Christ. You have given us all that you are in your Holy Spirit. And so, God, today, would you help us to hear your Holy Spirit? Would you help us to connect with you, the God who made us, the God who loves us? We're grateful, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today, I want to say, today is like a treat. We have the someone who just last night was performing at Daily Plaza up in Chicago as part of the Blues Project, which sometime you'll have to share with us some of those kinds of fun stories you have from all that. But let's stand and let's sing as we begin to worship today. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. God, thank you. That song just reminds me of how faithful, how consistent you are in your love for us. That we don't have to wonder from one day to the next, does God love me today? Is God paying attention to me? Is God with me today? But God, your love, you're faithful, God. And we are so grateful because we know, God, you're not like us. We are fickle. We are not as faithful as you. And God, as we gather together on mornings like this, we are reminded oftentimes of the ways that we have not been the people you created us to be. And we don't want to pretend this morning, God. We don't want to put on a religious mask. We just want to be honest with you about our successes, our joys, and about our failures, our frustrations, and about our doubts and questions and all the other stuff, God, our anxieties, our hurts. God, all of it today, we are just, help us, God, just to be honest with you, just be open with you so that you can work, so that you can heal, so that you can forgive, so that you can strengthen, so you can guide, so you can meet us right in the middle of reality, right where we live, and be this amazing God who made us and loves us, this amazing God who is God with us, Emmanuel in Jesus Christ, this God who is present in your power by your Holy Spirit. Help us today, God, just to say yes to you. We thank you, God, for inviting us into your presence today, inviting us into this time where we could bring it all to you and we get to receive so much more in return. Thank you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's take a couple minutes to extend that peace to each other, shake somebody's hand, read somebody's name tag, greet them by name today, maybe. Could somebody go give the elementary kids a heads up that we're almost ready for them? They're gonna come and share something with us in just a couple minutes. I hope everybody got one of these little welcome bulletins when you came in, let you know what's going on around here. And of course, inside there is that little welcome card. We love to have you fill that out, drop it in the offering box whenever you've written something you think is interesting on there. If there's some way we can pray for you, great. If there's some way we can thank God, awesome. If you have some feedback or a question, perfect. Write it on this card, drop it in the offering box right there, and that way I can follow up with you this week. I will be I'll be at some denominational meetings for the next couple of days, so it won't be till Tuesday afternoon or Wednesday till I can follow up probably. But please, let us know how we can pray for you. And of course, if you're giving today, you can drop that in that box too, or you can give online, that works. This Saturday is the 6K, the Global 6K for Water. And so if you are walking with us, awesome. Be across the street by the Butterfield Pavilion between 9 and 9:30, because we're going to kick off at 9:30. And if you have not yet signed up, you have to register online by Tuesday night in order to have your stuff come in on time. Otherwise, you'll get your shirt and everything later. You can show up Saturday morning and do it, but you might want to get your stuff ahead of time. Awesome. Cool. While they're coming up, let me show you some pictures. These kids were at Kokomo. Was it Kokomo, right? You guys were all the way down at Kokomo? I have to go to Kokomo tonight. You guys were at Kokomo yesterday. The team took first place. They're all going on to state. They did awesome. Give these kids a hand, yeah. They have been studying the book of Acts, which is what we're starting today. So they've got some verses that they've memorized, that they've hidden God's word in their hearts. They're going to share it with us. Yeah. Awesome, guys. Thank you so much. If you have ever struggled with memorizing scripture, they have got songs and hand motions and the whole deal will help you to remember that verse you've been wanting to memorize. Or you can just make them up. You know, that actually does work. I mean, that's why these kids, they get like a CD of songs that they can memorize verses to. And they're probably songs, I know there are songs that I know that I don't care to know because my boys see them on these shows that they watch now. And why not let the thing that's echoing in your head be a Bible verse or something like that? So anyway, I wanted them to get to share that with you, especially because that's right where we're going this morning. I did want to let you know first, though, too, that just 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the 18th, yeah, 2 weeks from Saturday, we're having a concert right here, the Blues Project, the group that Scott just had up in Chicago performing at Daly Plaza. They're going to be right here performing and raising money for Family Promise, a shelter ministry that's getting started here, a shelter for families with kids that's getting started here in Porter County that we're going to be participating in. So if you would like to be a part of that, it's the 18th. Just show up with your $10, the suggested donation. And is that right? Just $10 and okay, no need to bring anything else, just them and $10 and enjoy the show. 6 o'clock or a little earlier if you want to make sure you've got a good seat, because it's probably going to be a full house. So invite your friends, great blues concert. They did it last year and it was amazing. So I hope that you'll join us. All right. There are probably some other things in there that you might be interested in. Let us know on your welcome card. I'd love to follow up with you. We are in the book of Acts this week. Last week, last Sunday, Easter Sunday, we had just finished reading through the Gospel of Luke and with his grand finale of Jesus' resurrection, his victory over sin and death. And then Luke wrote a sequel, the book of Acts, that we just started reading this last week. If you don't know, we're making our way through the New Testament, one chapter per weekday. This past week, we read Acts chapters 1 through 5. We've got a quick video that's going to kind of recap what you read this last week. Or if you didn't read it, it's going to catch you up to where we are. Plus, give us a couple chapters into the next one. So that actually gets us into this coming week's readings a little bit. This week, if you're following along and you start with chapter 6 tomorrow, you will read in 6, 7, and 8 about Stephen and his death and about the Apostle Paul, known as Saul at the time, and his conversion. We'll read about that this week, his encounter with Jesus. And if you are liking these videos, I finally remembered to put the link in the bulletin for you so you can remember when you get home, thebibleproject.com. They've got all kinds of great videos, and they're the ones that put together these posters, and they've got a video that walks through and draws that whole poster in two parts. Anyway, today the theme from these first five chapters, they touched on it in that video. The theme that's been resonating with me this week, or echoing in my brain, is this idea of God's Spirit coming to us and us being like those little mobile temples that they called us. It was a few years ago, actually. I think it was when we were making one of the moves. I think it was when we moved here, or it was when we moved one of the previous times. I can't remember. I remember preaching on this idea of us being these little mobile temples that God's Spirit lives within. The Holy Spirit is God giving all of himself to us. That goes back to that weird Christian idea of the Trinity, the idea that God is three in one, that God the Father gives all of himself to us in Jesus. He holds nothing back, but when we look at Jesus, we see God in the flesh. And now, by his Holy Spirit, God gives all of himself to us by the Holy Spirit. And so he holds nothing back. And so somehow There's the Father who is God, and there's the Son who is God, and there's the Spirit who is God present among us in powerful ways. And we see this begin to happen in Luke's summary, in his sequel, the book of Acts. So I just wanted to start in the first few verses. You've got this in your notes there. We're going to look at some of the actual scripture that video is based on. Just a few verses into his sequel, Luke says, on one occasion while he, Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Says there's a gift God wants to give, the gift of his own presence, the Holy Spirit. So wait until you've received this gift. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They're still hoping he's going to be the kind of king they'd always wanted him to be. And Jesus, I picture him kind of shaking his head and saying to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his own authority. If somebody tells you, oh, I've got it all figured out, and Jesus is returning in this year, or that person, or they can connect all the dots from the newspapers or the websites or however we get our news today to Bible prophecies, Jesus says, look, that's not for us to know. But what you do get, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's what we just heard. It's what the quizzers just recited for us a moment ago. That God is promising, Jesus is promising his disciples, God is going to give his very presence to you in a powerful way that's going to allow you to be his witnesses. We'll come back to that in just a minute. So in Acts chapter 2, the very next chapter, when the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly the sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They kind of hinted at that in the video. As we've got people gathered from all over the world in Jerusalem for this festival, all of a sudden the disciples, these Galileans, who weren't particularly well educated, none of them took, you know, that second language in high school that many of you had to take. They barely know their mother tongue, and here they are proclaiming the good news of God in languages they had never learned, and the people who are gathered are like, whoa, one of those guys is speaking my native language. And the guy next to him saying, well, the dude next to him is speaking my native language. And who are these people? And a crowd starts to gather. Peter stands up and explains what's going on. That this is the gift of God's Holy Spirit. He tells the story of Jesus. You can read this in Acts chapter 2. And says, Jesus has done what the prophets had promised. He came as the Messiah. He's poured out God's Holy Spirit. But when he came, you killed him. you handed him over to the Romans. They put him on a cross and he died. But he has conquered sin and death. He has risen. It says, when the people heard this, and you've got this there in your notes again, when the crowd of people gathered, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What do we do with this news you've just given us that God sent his Messiah and we killed him? What do we do with this? And Peter replies, I think we just heard this one a moment ago, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This gift that you don't earn, God's presence, we don't earn it, we don't achieve it, we don't somehow finally qualify for it once we've finally ticked off a perfect attendance sheet at church on Sunday morning, or once we finally are giving at the rate the church wants us to, or once we finally are doing whatever it might be, we finally kick that bad habit and okay, now I'm ready for God to really bless me. No, it's a gift. And all we do is repent. And be baptized, which is a sign of repentance, a sign of being united with Christ in his death and his resurrection. If you've not been baptized, I want to talk to you. We want to get you baptized. If you were baptized as an infant, awesome. That's great. We can do like a rededication thing if you need to do that. Anyway, he says, look, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Is what Jesus just said at the end of Luke that we looked at last week, that Jesus tells his disciples that the good news of Jesus will be shared everywhere. The news of repentance and forgiveness of sins. We repent, we turn from our sin, and we trust that God can forgive us because of what he's accomplished in Jesus Christ, and he gives us his Holy Spirit. So this promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call, which is a hint that this is for us too. Generations and generations and millennia now, later, so far removed from Peter and the group that's gathered there that day. But this promise still stands of God's presence, his Spirit, living within us. moving with us. With many other words, he warned them, he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now, I don't know how big the crowd was. I don't know if that was like 10% of the people that were there, or if that was like most of the crowd all said, yeah, we want this. I don't know. All we know was that there were 3,000. By the end of this time, it went from, you know, 11 or 12 disciples and the apostles, the inner circle. We know there was like 100 and something larger group than that had been following Jesus. Now there's suddenly 3,000 of them. And what does this life look like? Then as the Holy Spirit takes residence, as God's presence begins to transform their lives from the inside out, what kind of life do you live when you're a temple of God's presence, of God's Spirit? It says, well, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They wanted to know all they could, like, tell us more about Jesus. Tell us more about what God is doing. You know, we've got the apostles' teaching recorded for us in the New Testament. It's why we're devoting a year to making our way through the apostles' teaching. We want to be devoted to understanding what it is that Christ has taught us, what it is that the earliest disciples understood about what it means to live as God's people, to live as temples of God's presence. They devoted themselves to fellowship, as to each other. You know, they were committed to each other. They weren't just doing this thing on their own, like, oh, I got good news of Jesus and the Holy Spirit's in me. Whoo, okay, I'm good. See you guys later. You know, they didn't just wander off on their own. They did life together. They cared for each other in so many ways. They're devoted to the breaking of bread, to prayer. And they gathered together for meals, sometimes sacramental ones, you know, remembering Christ's death for us on the cross. Sometimes just eating together, just hanging out together, praying for each other. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, those who were saying yes, those who were turning from sin, turning to Christ, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Every day, more and more people were being added. It must have been an exciting time. I cannot imagine, you know, what that must have been like for them, figuring this all out as they go. So that's a little summary they give us at the end of Acts chapter 2 of what their community was like, of what life was like. And I know that our situation is very different. We are not, I mean, some of these guys were kind of on vacation. You know, they're traveling to Jerusalem, as the video said. They didn't even live there. And so, like, they're already, like, figuring, okay, what's this mean? What's this look like? You know, a couple chapters later, they're going to start heading home as the persecution breaks out. But in the meantime, they are together. It's a little bit, it reminds me a little bit like, like vacation, or like coming home for the summer from college or something like that. You know, and you've got your friends from high school who now you've all kind of gone your separate ways. And then summertime, you know, people tend to gravitate back toward home and kind of catch up and like, oh, what are you doing? How are things going for you? And, you know, unless you join the military, it might not like be the next summer you're able to come back. But, you know, eventually you get together, you catch up, you're like, you might have responsibilities, but those responsibilities are a little less defined than your school year responsibilities. And it reminds me a little bit of that. Like, they're together, they've got time, they're growing, they're loving each other, they're learning more about what it means to follow Jesus. So the thought in my head has been, okay, so if God's powerful presence is present in me, in you, where you go, God goes, right? When the people of Israel wanted to meet with God, they went to the tabernacle, they went to the temple, they went to this place where they knew they could meet with God, where God had said, I will be present to you here. Here is where I will hear your prayers. Here is where you can come to find help. And the temple was the place. These guys actually do another neat little thing. I don't remember where. Oh, it's in their little video that walks through this little map of talking about how these chapters describe how we are the temple now. The people of God are the temple. And the things that people used to go to the temple for, to worship God, to receive financial assistance, to connect with God's healing presence, these things now are present among God's people. People in need come to the church, come to where God is present among his people, and they find God there. So where is God sending us? Where is God sending you? Where is God's presence going with you when you leave this place. Are you saying that God isn't everywhere, Pastor? No, of course God's everywhere. But there's something unique about these temples, these places where God says, here, you can know you will meet me. I am present here. And now that presence is uniquely found in and among God's people. When we gather together, you've probably heard the verse quoted 100 times where Jesus said, where 2 or 3 you're gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We always say that whenever there's a light attendance Sunday, you know, or whenever you've got a small group Bible study gathering, you're like, oh, just a couple of us tonight. Well, you know, we're 2 or 3 gathered. Jesus is here. Okay, let's go. Let's study together. When we gather together, Christ is present. But even as you go, as we all leave this place and go our separate ways, where you go, God goes. God's presence goes. God's power goes. God's grace, God's kindness, God's faithful love goes with you to all the places that God is sending you. As the persecution breaks out that we'll read about this week, and they scatter throughout Judea and Samaria, as they go, God's presence goes with them. The good news of Jesus goes with them. The power of God goes with them. What would that look like for our lives to be infused with God's presence? You know, we have a hint of it there at the end of Acts chapter 2, how it transforms the way they think about each other, about their possessions, about their time. What does this look like? And we hear another similar kind of a summary statement at the end of chapter 4 on the back there of your notes, if you want to flip it over. The end of chapter 4, it says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, put it at the apostles' feet. I wanted to include that little verse, those two verses, because Barnabas plays a significant role in the chapters that we'll be reading this week together. And he shows up in the story. He's introduced first as one of those who is responding to God, saying, okay, if there's a need, I've got some resources. God's given me some resources. I can help meet that need. That's why that passage right there is why we call the fund to help people in our church family the Acts 4 Fund. All right, if any of you have wondered, like you're in the boat and like, oh, why do they call that the Acts 4 Fund, helping people in our church family in financial need? It's because of this passage. Because that's what they did in Acts chapter 4. When someone in the community, in the church community, had a need, you know, they would come to the leaders of the church, and the church leader would say, oh, yeah, you know what? Somebody just sold some stuff. We've got some resources here. We can help. So some of you, I know, give to the Acts 4 Fund on a regular basis to make sure that when someone in the church, just this last couple of weeks, I've had to give out some money from the Acts 4 Fund for people who needed a car repair, for some rent assistance, for some things like that. So that fund is always open. You're always willing, you're always able to give to it. Just mark it Acts 4. What does it look like when the Holy Spirit takes residence in us as we go about our daily lives? Now, they hinted at it in there before they got to Stephen's death, that the disciples were arrested. And that happens a couple times in just the passages we just read this last week. In those first 5 chapters, the apostles, a couple different times, they're in the temple courts, they're doing something, and they get arrested, and they're told, like, hey, cut this out. Quit telling people about Jesus. You're making us look bad. Telling everybody, you know, that we killed him. I'm like, well, you did, so what do you want us to do? And God keeps bringing them out of jail. They get arrested, they're in jail, and at least a couple different times, like an angel shows up and is like, okay, come on, get out now, you know, get back out there and tell people about Jesus. And the next day they go to get the disciples out and like, where'd they go? I don't know. And someone runs and said, hey, they're outside, they're telling everybody about Jesus. How did they get outside? God keeps springing them, except when he doesn't, except when Stephen dies. You know, I mean, there's this reality that acts that the Bible does not hide from us, that suffering is a part of the Christian journey. Sometimes God shows up in miraculous ways, does miraculous things, and other times God allows us to suffer and for that to be a witness. You know, we call people who die for their faith martyrs, and that word martyr is just the Greek word for witness. That's just what it means. They are testifying by their death of their faith in Christ. That Stephen, again, that we'll read about this week, says, you know what, I believe in Jesus, and of course I'm going to follow Jesus and not listen to you guys. I mean, how's that even a choice? So of course I'm going to continue to follow Jesus. I'm going to continue to trust him. even if it means my death. Even our death, even our suffering, even our difficulty can be a testimony as God gives us strength, as the Holy Spirit within us gives us the ability to continue to trust and follow him. All right, one of the stories that pops up as the Spirit goes with the disciples everywhere they go, I've enjoyed this story in particular for what it helps us to think about as we go. As we go all our separate ways, there's a story in Acts chapter 3. It's one of the times they get in trouble because of what happens here, that Peter and John get arrested after this. It says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. He's a beggar on the side of the road, right? If you've been to Chicago, you've walked past someone just like this. He asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, so did John. And Peter said, look at us. He's probably already watching the other people, just kind of, you know, Oh, so the man gives them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I'm not surprised, you know, at his excitement. He's walking and jumping and praising God. I'm thinking, if I hadn't used my legs in that long, man, that'd be exciting. I'd be jumping too. You know, this is awesome. I got legs at work again. And praising God for having healed him. I love this story because it's Peter and John just doing what they usually do. It's the time of prayer. It's 3:00. They're just doing what they always do. And somehow in this moment, the Holy Spirit prompts them and says, wait, pay attention to this guy. Wait, I want to do something here. And they give him what they have. He's honest and said, well, look, I don't have silver and gold. My pockets are empty, but what I do have, I'll give you. And in that moment, he somehow knew that the power of God, the presence of God, was present to heal this man. And he invites him to experience that healing. Now, for most of us, as we go through our days, I mean, I think this is just what God expects of us. It's what we've just been reading in those other summaries. You know, that people who had stuff, gave stuff. You know, people who didn't. You know, people gave what they had. It's this recognition that, okay, God, it all belongs to you, and as I'm going through life, where I go, you go. Yes, God is present everywhere, but doesn't God over and over again in the scriptures work through his people? And so we're going through life, and we have some moment, some opportunity to share the love of God, the grace of God, the kindness, the whatever it is, to share something that God has given to us with someone else. Sometimes, if we're going to be honest, you know, we've got to say, well, I do have a little silver and gold. You know, I do have a little money. I could help financially. I'm just not sure I want to or should or whatever. You know, we're kind of conflicted about that. What is it that we could do? Sometimes we're giving them a little bit of attention, human kindness. Sometimes we're just showing some compassion. Sometimes we're just looking up from our phones and noticing there's a human being and treating them like a human being for the next 10 minutes while we talk to them about whatever is going on. Sometimes all we do is offer a prayer because that's what we have. We say, you know what, can I just pray for you? I don't know what God wants to do, but can I just pray for you and ask God to help? Be amazed how many times people are like, oh yeah, sure. And you just pray a simple prayer asking God to help this person. You do your part. You don't know what God might do. God might do something amazing. And then God will get all that credit. And all you did was offer what you happened to have, which was time, the ability to pray, confidence in a God who loves them, something they might be very unsure of in that moment. They do this good thing. They offer what they have. God comes through. A miracle happens, and then a crowd gathers, just like a crowd gathered on the day of Pentecost with all the weird, you know, sound and light show and people speaking other languages. A crowd gathers because this guy is hooting and hollering and jumping and praising God. And they're like, whoa, isn't that the beggar? And Peter and John tell them all about Jesus, and they get arrested. When we do good, when we show the love of God, we have an opportunity then to tell of the love of God. If you've ever, if this whole like you'll be my witnesses thing freaks you out and you're like, oh, I want to talk about Jesus. Okay, just show people the love of Jesus. And a whole lot of the time, that will lead to an opportunity to tell of the love of Jesus. You'll be able to just share what you have, what you've experienced. That's what they end up doing. This is actually, there's a couple of times of getting in trouble in between that and these verses in chapter 4, where the authorities see the courage of Peter and John and realize they're unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and took note these men had been with Jesus. Has spending time with Jesus made a difference in your life? Has it given you courage? It says they, since they could see the man who'd been healed standing there with him, there's nothing they could say. It's like, people can't deny the good work that God does, right? They might be able to disagree with you about what you believe about heaven or hell or Jesus or anything else, but if you've just shown compassion, like, well, but you did do something cool. That was good. Yeah, you know, I can't deny that this person was helped. They called him in again and commanded him not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Like, we just can't help it. We've seen this. We've seen too much. We've heard too much. We can't help but talk about this. We can't help but share what God has done. This is all God's asking of you and of me. Where you go, God goes. You go through the world, there are going to be opportunities for God's love, for his grace to flow through you into the lives of others. And when you let God do something good for others, so many times that's going to lead to an opportunity for you to share the why you did it. And where does this come from? Where is this kindness, this patience? Where is this? If you have an opportunity to pray for someone, obviously, then right there in your prayer, you're expressing your faith in Christ and your trust in God's goodness. And God's not asking you to memorize some theological treatise and then, you know, vomit that back at somebody, you know, who's not ready for it, you know, just because they happen to be standing next to you in the grocery store line or something. He's just asking you, when the opportunity arises, talk about what you have seen and heard. Talk about what God has done in your life. Talk about what you've learned as you've been reading through the scriptures. Talk about what it is that God has been doing for you and in you. The reason why you're living the life you are. Maybe this week you tell somebody, yeah, I just learned at church this week that God is present with us. And wherever we go in the world, God is present there with us. And so here we are having this conversation. And I don't know what God wants to do right now, but could I at least pray for you? And that's maybe all you need to say. What might it look like for God's presence to show up in your world this week? Where you go, where you live, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your home, in your apartment building, in your family, what might it look like in your workplace for God's presence to show up there through you? It could be interesting. Could get you in trouble. Could be amazing. That's what I'm hoping that we'll be open to this week. So before we celebrate communion together, is there anybody that's just got a question bugging you, burning in your heart or in your mind that you want to ask? Oh, the other.
This week is just a simple question. At the beginning of the book of Acts, they said they were returning to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, mm-hmm. and it went on to describe that as a Sabbath day's walk from the city. Mm-hmm. I looked on a map or I Googled, and it's only about a four-mile distance.
Okay.
What is the significance of calling it a Sabbath day rather than any other day?
Sure. Because they had rules about how far they could walk on the Sabbath before they would call it work. And so a Sabbath day's walk was shorter than what like a normal day's walk would be. And so the distance from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem was like, you know, about as far as you can walk on the Sabbath. And so that was just a way of referring to a measure of distance, you know. Does that make sense? Okay, cool. Anybody else have a question, something that's been bugging you or something you're curious about? I'm moving this way because it seems like half the time I go from one end of the room to the other end of the room. And then somebody back on the other side has a question. Nobody? Okay. All right. Well, let me pray for us, and we'll celebrate communion together. Thank you, God. Thank you for invading our lives with your presence. Thank you for not just leaving us stuck in the mess that we're in, but in Jesus Christ, you've shined your light into our darkness. You've brought your life where there was death. You've made us whole where we were broken. And as we turn to you, as we believe this good news that Jesus Christ is King, that the rule of God is being established here and now where we live, as we trust in you, you forgive us. You make us new. You wash our sins away. You embrace us as your children. You give us the gift of your powerful presence, of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you. I pray, God, that you will help us this week to receive this gift, to not keep you at arm's length, but to say, yes, God, I am yours. I want everything you have to give. God, I pray that you would surprise us this week with your Spirit speaking, nudging, whispering to us, pointing out things we should pay attention to, pointing out people we should notice. God, I pray that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit. And I pray you'd give us that courage, same courage that the disciples displayed, that in those moments we wouldn't shrink back, but we'd be willing to follow your Spirit's lead as we have an opportunity to give, to talk, to listen, to pray. God, whatever it is that you've given us, God, I pray that you would help us to use that. Because you know us. You know what we have. You know who we are. You've chosen us for a reason. You're nudging us in that moment because you know that what we have is what that person needs. So God, help us. Help us to pay attention to you, to have courage, to trust, and to follow you. Give us the power to be your witnesses, to just share what you have done in us, to share what you have given to us. God, I look forward to seeing all the different forms that that takes, because you're sending us to a wide variety of circumstances this week, and you know where we all are and what we all have. And God, I look forward to hearing some stories trickling back my way this week. I look forward to having some stories to tell as we trust you, as we follow you. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving yourself to us in Jesus Christ and giving yourself to us in your Holy Spirit. Thank you that for those of us who need to touch it and to taste it, you've given us this sacrament of communion where we offer you these gifts of bread and juice. And we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our risen Savior in his body, in his blood, remembering the great sacrifice made on our behalf so that we could be set free, that Jesus, you took our sin on yourself. You took the worst of the evil that we could give you. And by your death and by your resurrection, you defeated sin and death and the devil. You took evil and you redeemed it. You took our sin and transformed it, God. Thank you that today we don't have to be weighed down by guilt and shame. Today we can turn from sin and turn to you and find ourselves forgiven and set free. God, help us to experience that today. Help us to live that today. There might be some of us here who've been dragging that guilt around for so long, and today you want us just to let it go. Today you want us to experience your love and your grace and your forgiveness. Today you want to help us make a fresh start, trusting and following you. So God, today we offer you ourselves with all of our mess, with everything, all of our questions, all of our uncertainty about what this is going to look like, being your mobile temple and taking your presence to the places where we live. God, we offer all of this to you. And we trust that by your grace and by your Spirit's presence and power in our lives, that we will be transformed into the body of Christ, into your kids, your sons, your daughters, that we might take your presence to our world. Thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Scott's going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll have the basket of bread and the cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread, dip it in the juice, and eat it, and return to your seats. This is open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. Now, I know that not all of you feel comfortable getting up front and touching bread and juice and following somebody else and all that kind of stuff. If nobody's going to look at you funny if you don't participate in this sacrament. Man, the table's been set. And I love the opportunity to touch with my fingers and to taste with my tongue the love and the grace of God. So if you're hungry for his grace, grateful for his love, let's sing and let's celebrate. Thank you, God, that as we give ourselves to you, you give yourself to us. In such greater measure, it's hard to even compare what we offer to you and what you offer to us. Today, God, we give you thanks for the grace you've shown us in Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks for the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. Guide us, lead us, empower us as we go from this place to carry your grace and your love, your hope, to people who so desperately need it. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.